Welcome to the City's Backyard with Matt the Z-Man Zacho, a podcast that interviews all walks of life from their own backyard. The City's Backyard starts now.
We are checking in from the Redding Beer Company in Redding, Connecticut. It is Spring Fest. We've got beautiful weather here, the live podcast going on, and this episode is all about food, music, and beverages, beer, and more, cappuccino, and even ice cream. So we've got some great guests coming up that we're going to talk to. We're going to check in with Sergio Sisco, who owns the Italian deli in Norwalk called Francesca's Cafe and Grill. So we'll check in with him, and we'll hear all about all the great food he has at his Italian deli. We're going to talk to the owner of Wall Street Tavern, Brian Malcarney. Lindsay from Lindsay's Handmade Ice Cream. She's just getting her business started. And then we're going to talk to the beer geeks, I call them, Jim and Dave Balser from Redding Beer Company. We're going to go down to their beer lab and find out what they've got brewing for springtime here at Redding Beer Company. So we're doing the live to Memorex thing with Stephen Keith on acoustic and then tour newcomer. Everybody is outside, socially distanced. So we're going to be doing these monthly events here at Redding Beer Company. It's really exciting. We've got a beautiful day in Connecticut, and we're just happy to be outside and doing it safely. So we'll go to the studio next, and then we'll wrap up the show live from Redding Beer Company here in Redding, Connecticut. So stay right there. We'll be right back.
The Redding Beer Company is open. Check out a variety of all the usual suspects of independent craft beer, from the American Wheat Ale and East Coast IPA to great specials like Connecticut Porter and Redding Ole Ale. Order online at reddingbeer.com. At Redding Beer Company, their mission is to make exceptional classic and historic beer and ales. The Redding Beer Company, 7 Main Street, Redding.
We are in the backyard of Norwalk, Connecticut, with a guy that is very well known in this area. And, you know, we might as well say we're in the backyard of Calabria, Italy, because he's Italian. His name is Sergio Sisco, and he owns Francesca's Cafe and Grill right on the Post Road, Westport Avenue in Norwalk. And Serge, welcome to the podcast. It's great to have you on.
Nice to be there with you, Matt.
Yeah. Now, Serge, you have a well-known background in the area because you opened up a couple of Bagel King locations in Stamford and Norwalk, and then you sold them in 2010. And you also were a big part of ShopRite for many years in what, the delicatessen department?
No, actually, I was the front end guy. I was known like the soup guy that I run the front end. All the customer service there, any customer problems, relation, cashiers, returns, credits, maintain about 150 employee staff. So I was in charge of that. That's where I get to know more people, because right in the front end of the store, that's when you see everybody leaving. That's where you become friends.
So, yeah. Yes. Yeah. Well, you also, you know, you were well known when you were running Bagel King, and yes. And everybody knew Bagel King, you know, back in the day. And then you sold them, and then you decided to open up your own deli, which everybody knows Francesca's has been around a while, but you just attached your name to it. So it's Sergio at Francesca's Cafe and Grill, right?
Yes, because I wanted people to know that Sergio from Sharpa ended up in this deli called Francesca. So that's why my web the Facebook says, come and see Sergio at Francesca's Deli. So they kind of knew where to look for me. That's why I kept the name Sergio's, come and see Sergio's at Francesca's Deli.
Well, I really like it, Serge. And I got to say, you have a great personality. Everybody knows you in town, and you're a friendly guy. I mean, Serge, when I go into your deli at Francesca's there in Norwalk, I mean, I really feel like I'm part of the family. And I got to say, I love your website. You say from Italy to Norwalk, from coffee, from cappuccino to cannolis, right? I mean, you've got a fantastic menu.
Oh, yeah. My cooking is very simple. It's a homemade cooking. like we cook at home. I learned from my grandmother, from my mother, my sisters. Basically, we all do the same kind of food, the homemade meatballs. We cook everything on the premises here. We make fresh soups daily. We just make enough for the daily. By the end of the day, everything is gone. I also have the coffee bar where everybody comes in and they meet and conduct business. And they meet who needs a nutrition, who needs a plumber. Everybody meets here. So this is like a point of meeting for a lot of people. So they say, what are you going to do? Oh, let's meet at Sergio's. We have a coffee. We get something to eat. We have a fresh cannoli. I have some fresh sfogliatelle here. Make them laugh a little bit, and then they go on for the day. Then they stop at the end of the night sometimes just to say, let's have a coffee, and then we go home.
You have this cappuccino machine, and you have this reputation for having the best cappuccino in town.
Yes, very true.
And what made you decide to become so popular with your cappuccino? I mean, let's talk the fact that you are open for breakfast and coffee and cappuccino, and then you're open for lunch. And what time do you usually close the deli?
Well, I would say to everybody anytime after 5:30 to 6 o'clock, because I have a lot of customer friends that come back at the end of the day. And some people get off at 4:30, some people get off at 5 o'clock. And some people even, they call me and say, listen, make me a dinner to go. I will pick it up. I don't get out of work till 5:30. I sit here and I wait for them. So they come in. I make them a coffee. I get the food ready to pick up the food. They go home and the day is done. So I don't really have a time with time I close. So I would say between 5:30, 6:30, 7. I have a lot of customers that hang around here and talk about a little bit. And what makes me famous about my cappuccino is because I went to culinary school in Italy as a 14 years old. My school sent me to work in Venice at a hotel called Hotel Europe, which I was, let's say, a barista, like we call here a barista.
What was that? So what was the hotel?
Hotel Europa.
Ah.
Back then. And so I was making coffee and cappuccino, started at 14 years old. So that's how I was getting fancy and get better at it. And now I put all that into here. So when I do things, I do with passion because that's who I am, you know?
Yeah.
And I love when I make people a nice cappuccino. They love it, you know?
Yeah. No, I know from just coming in, I've gotten to know you over the past, you know, I'd say year when the pandemic started. I'd gone to the deli years ago, and then I walked in, and it was like a whole new deli. You had a counter with the cappuccino, and it just looked so – it looked like a mini diner, Italian deli, you know?
Exactly. Yes.
Yeah. And
that's how people feel.
Yeah, I felt very comfortable coming in there. Like I almost wanted to hang out, you know, like, but with the pandemic, I think you have served, you know, kind of, you know, it's hard to get food during, especially when the pandemic started, you know, the restaurants were having such a hard time and to go and take out became so popular in the last year. And sometimes that's all you need is to go over to see Serge and you say, Serge, this is what I need. And you make it and then you're on your way. And what I love is, one of my favorite things are your chicken cutlets. And of course, I got to try the chicken parmesan, but I'm always getting the regular chicken cutlet with lettuce and tomato and mayonnaise. Mm-hmm. But then I finally tried your steak and cheese. And I told you I was allergic to red peppers. And you said, no problem. I'll just do green. And it was... You know, that is so hard to find somebody that'll actually, you know, make it custom made. And that's what you do over there. So it's awesome. You know,
that's exactly what I do for people. Always go the extra mile. Give them what they like. They come back. They come back with a smile. I offer a lot of cappuccino to people, especially those people that have been here for the first time. The only thing they got to say to me, oh, it's my first time here, is a cappuccino in the house. Enjoy it, and I'll see you tomorrow because you're going to love this cappuccino.
You know what I love? Yeah, I love the fact that you love what you do because you go to so many places and, you know, everybody's kind of cranky because they don't really want to be there. But it looks like, you know, from what I can tell, you really love being at Francesca's and serving the community. You love it.
Yes, I always did that, even when I was a chef right there. I created this service and a front end, let's say, that nobody has it. And people are looking for me because, oh my God, where did you go? In fact, one night I was shopping, I stopped at a shop, and some old customer ran up to me to say, hey, there you are. I've been looking for you. Then I told her where I am. She came back here the next day. She's been coming ever since. Coffee.
Yeah, it's a beautiful, it's a beautiful little niche you've created there, right on the Post Road, right in Norwalk, and it's almost like, you know, you could almost use some more parking over there because you've become so popular, right?
Yeah, definitely parking. Yes, so that's why I try to work them fast, in and out, eat. But sometimes the parking lot gets a little crazy. But the people find a spot, they go around, they park down the street, and they walk over. He goes, for you, sir, here we are.
Well, you know,
that's when they get a refill coffee.
Yeah, you can park behind the laundromat and pet store over there. So there's some spots in the back that people don't even know about. So I do that when I see the lot's a little too crowded. I just walk, you know, and it's not a far walk. Yeah. You can find parking nearby. So it's not really a big deal. You just got to know that you can do that. So I wanted to get the word out about that. If it's ever a little too crowded, just, you know, scoot over to the next store and park behind there and walk over. Yeah. Not a big deal. So, Serge, let's just talk about some of your specialties. You got hot and cold and, I mean, you know, Italian, the whole works. So tell me, just give me like an overview of your menu. Of course, you do breakfast where people even sit at the counter and eat breakfast, or they take an egg and cheese and bacon to go. But as far as like your lunch, you know, it's hard to find good hot meals, especially, you know, in the wintertime. So and you just mentioned that you do dinners to go, which I had no idea. And that's, you know, that sounds very affordable for a lot of people that just need a dinner on the go. Right.
Definitely. Yes. And what I do, a lot of people order dinners early. For a lot of these people that work in the office or from home, they actually they look at my website and they look the lunch menu. Let's say we have broccoli wrap with cavatelle and sausage. Then what they do is like, I take a lunch portion. Also, can you have me a dinner for on the side? I'll pick it up at 5:30. So a lot of people do that. Or they call up, they say, can I have two salads? Can I have and two chicken parmesan? I pick it up at 5 o'clock. So we do stuff like that. And like I said before, all my cooking is really homemade. Like you say, we do breakfast. Omelets, bacon, egg, and cheese, ham, egg, and cheese. We have croissant. I have organic breads from Wayfield Bakery. I have gluten-free breads that people are getting into it now. I use fresh croissant. Ham, egg, and cheese is a nose. But a lot of omelets, all kinds of omelets. I do burritos. Do some specials sometimes, and we put tacos. We try to diversify a little bit, kind of please everybody. We do cold cut sandwiches, Italian combos, turkey, all boar's head products, top of the line. And we do a lot of little things that I create for people. Let's say you come in for the very first time, just like I do, what kind of coffee you like. I'm going to say, okay, what do you feel like having for lunch? Well, I'm on a diet. I want to work out. I don't want to eat a lot of good stuff. I need a lot of protein. I give you a protein blast, a grilled chicken, broccoli wrap, vegetable, all mixed together. That's a nice Mishkan broil, like we say in Calabria. That's what we do. Steak and cheese, for instance. People like to have a little meat. I put the steak with the rice, some grilled vegetables in there. I mix all together, and you have a nice hot meal for lunch.
Very
affordable. You know,
you're making me hungry, Sergio.
Making you hungry, but you got to stop in tomorrow. And people, what people like about my place is this. Number one, they like me. Two is you have food, you have the bar, you have the good coffee. What else can you ask for? Everything is in one. Make them laugh. I tell me jokes up here and there, and they love it.
Yeah, absolutely. You've taken the place to the next level, without a doubt. I mean, it was always an Italian deli, but you've stepped it up in so many ways. So, and it's cool that you kept the name so everybody knows. And, you know, you just attach Sergio there, but everybody knows, you know, on the website, just go to francescasdeli.com. You've got the whole menu, breakfast, lunch, dinner, from Italy to Norwalk, from cappuccinos to cannolis, the whole deal with Sergio, my man.
Yay. Sfogliatelle, we got lobster tails. Right now, I also have some Easter Columbus and Easter eggs in case people are looking for those. Little unique. It's something you don't find in every and every store you don't find at a supermarket, let's say, I have some here. So people are coming looking for that. So that's what makes me unique. A little bit of everything in one little spot.
Yeah, you definitely jam pack a lot of different delicious food into that small deli, but it's big enough to go in and sit at the counter or order a cappuccino or have a cannoli or take it to go. And I just want to say, we need a place like Sergio's Francesca's deli and cafe, the cafe and grill there on the Post Road. So it really is cool that you're on the podcast as a guest and people know you in town from the days of Bagel King, and we're just lucky to have a guy like you serving up some great food. So thanks so much, Sergio Siska from Francesca's Deli in Norwalk. Thank you so much, Serge.
Thank you so much, man, to be there and do this for the community. I look forward to see everybody here at my counter. We do coffee, we do cannoli, we do lobster tail, anything they like.
All right, Serge, you've been a great guest. Thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you so much. We'll talk to you soon.
Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar is open and serving the best tapas in town. Come enjoy dinner and choose from their wide selection of red and white wine, sangria and cerveza as well. Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar with 3 locations, Westbrook, East Haven, and Norwalk. Check out their delicious menu at BistroMediterraneanAndTapasBar.com. Order Bistro to go as well for curbside takeout at 36 Westport Avenue on the Post Road in Norwalk. Enjoy happy hour drink prices Monday through Friday from 3 to 7 p.m. along with their full dinner menu including tapas. Enjoy lunch specials for only $12. Plus, come into Bistro Mediterranean and Tapas Bar and enjoy a free glass of wine or sangria with any entree.
Who knew the sleepy suburbs would be so popular? You're listening to The City's Backyard.
Welcome back to the show. We are in the studio with professional chef restaurateur Brian Melcarney. Brian owns Rory's in Darien and also Wall Street Tavern in Norwalk, which is relatively new. Brian, welcome back to the show. You're becoming a regular on the podcast here in The City's Backyard.
Ah, well, thank you, Matt. It's good to be a regular.
Yeah, we love having you, and you've done a great job. I mean, I like to say you're the pioneer of being a restaurateur during a pandemic, because you're one of the few people that opened up a new restaurant during really horrible, dark times. I mean, let's face it, this has been a rough time for you, but you're doing a great job with it. Why don't we talk a little bit about Rory's, and then we'll talk a little bit about Wall Street Tavern. First of all, while I had you, waiting to come on, I overheard you were talking Spanish, because you're actually at Rory's as we're doing this interview. And I was impressed with your Espanol, mi amigo.
Bueno, gracias. 30 años en la cocina. 30 years in the kitchen. You got to learn something.
Exactly. So a good job on that. And why don't we talk about the outdoor patio, which is back open at Rory's, right?
Yeah, we've got it back open. We got approval from the town to keep it open for another year. And, who knew that everything I needed to learn about running a restaurant during COVID, I learned, running a fraternity 30 years ago, how to put a party in a parking lot and make people happy.
Yeah, I was going to say, what's the correlation there between the fraternity and the restaurant?
Well, you turn something, that's really nothing into something, and people sit there and have a good time and listen to music, have food, have drinks. That's what it's all about. So,
yeah, who would have imagined that Rory's, because it is a small, little, quaint restaurant with not, a ton of property, but you managed to make it happen. I guess you took a little bit of the parking and you put some jersey barriers up, and you call it what, your poolside patio?
Yes, absolutely.
And you've been very gracious with the heat out there, because you've spent some money on propane, keeping it nice and warm for your customers with those outdoor heaters.
Yeah, well, the truth of the matter is we've had people dining outside all year. So, there were some diehards that that show up with their hats and gloves and coats, and we'd fire up a heater and they'd sit outside and they'd eat. So, good for them and good for us.
Well, you've always had artists, local musicians in the area, which always, it's like, how can you get me in at Rory's is what some of my musician friends will say to me. And I'll say, well, you know, I'll talk to Brian. I'll see what I can do. But, you know, basically you have taken the indoor music and put it outdoor, which is really cool because you've actually given the musicians and the artists a chance to, keep their craft alive in tough times. So how is that going so far with the local musicians playing at Rory's on the patio?
So yeah, it's been great for the musicians and great for us. You know, we had Lissy Newman out here on this past Sunday. We had over 90 people outside listening to music and getting their groove on. So it's been great.
Lissy Newman, Paul Newman's daughter. Wow, that's impressive. And she's very talented. She does like jazz 40s type of stuff.
Yeah, she does a jazz thing. She has a guitarist with her. And, you know, it's real great. It's a nice vibe for a Sunday afternoon to sit outside and have a little brunch and chill.
Speaking of Westport artists, we had Canyon on the podcast last week, and she just played at Daryl's house over the weekend in Pauling, and she played some music live on the podcast. I say live to Memorex because, you know, we pre-record, but she was live, and we played a couple of her tracks. She's got a side project out called Fast River, and I understand she's kind of a regular artist at Rory's as well.
Yeah, she's been playing here for probably like 5 years. She's awesome. Great artist and also just a great person. You know, I love giving her any chance to perform because I like supporting people that are good people.
Well, the thing is, too, when we had her on the podcast, I was talking about how, you know, her time has arrived because during the pandemic, acoustic artists like her are so in demand as opposed to large bands, right?
I would think, yeah. I mean, it's harder to get a whole band together with the proper spacing and all that kind of stuff. So, yeah, certainly would help for an artist like her who's just acoustic and she plays and sings.
Speaking of music, Brian, let's switch gears a little bit to your other restaurant, the Wall Street Tavern, which is right across from the Wall Street Theater, which is going to have some outdoor shows this spring and summer. So what can you say about that? I'm sure you're pretty excited because the restaurant's been open a while now and shows were kind of on hold for a while. I mean, they had virtual shows going on, but looks like it's back to the outdoor. I guess they're going to do outdoor pods instead of actually driving in with your car, you know, that type of thing. So,
right.
Isn't that going to be cool?
Yeah, it's great. You know, they've been booking a couple comedy shows and now they're starting to actually book some bands to play. I saw Pink Talking Fish is playing, Max Creek's coming up. So we're psyched for that. And, you know, we hope also to probably do a little music at Wall Street Tavern once we get our feet under us. And who knows, maybe we'll have Canyon play there too, because she's great.
That would be awesome. And I remember when we did our grand opening live podcast at Wall Street Tavern, I guess it was last spring or summer?
Oh, it was in the fall.
Oh, in the fall. Yeah, it wasn't that long ago. But yeah, it was before the weather got really cold. And I remember the Breakers, the Tom Petty tribute band from Boston, had just played, you know, one of the last outdoor drive-in shows at the Wall Street Theater. And we featured them on the podcast. And then we were live at your place. So they're coming back and we're actually going to have them in the city's backyard. Once again, they've got a nice little tour schedule. They're traveling to, you know, more than just New England. They're going out to Wisconsin. And so they're a great band and they'll be back in late May. So what can you say to the people that are going to those shows and coming back to the local community where arts are coming back alive again? To, you know, what do you feature over there at Wall Street Tavern? I know you have Reading Beer on tap.
We do. We have Reading Beer on tap. We also have some great artisan pizzas. Everything's made in-house, dough. We got a wood-fired oven. We're also putting beautiful chicken out of the wood-fired oven. We also have a sandwich menu, so there's some burgers and hot roast beef sandwich, as well as a pastrami Reuben. And then beyond that, we have some entrees, too. We got a nice grilled salmon, a grilled New York strip steak. You know, we're trying to do a little something to make everyone happy. And then we got a couple of desserts, too. The most popular being the lime and the coconut tart.
You also have this rock and roll theme going on over there, which is really cool because you are right across the street from the theater, which back in the day was, you know, was the Globe Theater. And I introduced quite a few musicians there, like Joan Jett, Jefferson Starship. I remember David Lee Roth played there. Jeff Healey, who was in the movie Roadhouse. And we had a guest that wrote She's Like the Wind with Patrick Swayze. Stacy Weidlitz was on the podcast from Nashville, Tennessee. And, you know, we were talking about the movie Roadhouse, and I'd mentioned that that was where I met Jeff Healey, who played, you know, who played in that bar in Roadhouse with the chicken wire up around the stage. I don't know if you ever saw that movie.
Yeah, no, I know the movie. Angel Eyes is one of his big hits. He's a great artist. Blind as well, which exceptionally cool.
Yeah, he passed away a while ago. I don't know if you knew that.
Oh, I didn't know that. That's a shame.
Yeah.
He was really talented.
Exactly. So, you know, the fact that you're tied in with the city's backyard and the theater and the musicians, I mean, you know, you've been a supporting sponsor of my podcast now for a year. And I just want to thank you for that, because I think collaboratively we've kind of been helping and supporting the community. I mean, you know, there's other restaurants and obviously other, breweries like Reading Beer that have taken part in this. And so, I just want to say thanks for that, because I think, you know, we're making everybody happy, because there's not, you know, it's not normal yet. I mean, things are still, you know, they're not, you know, back to where they were. So the fact that you can hire these musicians and, you know, keep the music alive while you're firing up the pizzas and the wings and the burgers and all that good food at both places, Rory's and Wall Street Tavern, it's just a wonderful thing. So I don't know if, you know, anybody's giving you kudos for that, but great job, brother.
Well, thanks, man. You know, I think one of the neat things that's come out of the pandemic is there has been a little more of a community, whereas people seem to be a little more divided and more worried about themselves. And now everyone kind of has been brought a little back in, reeled in a little, and they get it again. So it's nice to build a community and see it, you know, function and see how everyone helps everyone else out. I like that. It's good stuff.
Yeah, and I just want to, you know, before I forget, I want to mention the Wall Street Tavern has those windows that open up, which is really cool. And then you have the brick, or the tile, I should say, behind the what is it, the fire pizza oven there?
Yeah, we have the Subway tiles behind the pizza oven.
With the, and it's basically the cover of the Wall album, Pink Floyd, The Wall.
Yes. I had my daughter spray paint that, so it looks pretty cool. And then we also have a really cool mural on the inside as you walk in on some of the brick that artist Sandy Garnett did. So we got some cool stuff going on in there. And I'm looking forward to putting in some new rock and roll posters when I get to start going to some new shows.
Yeah, so speaking of those windows opening up, that's going to come in handy, because you're going to have air moving in and out of the restaurant. So it's almost like it's an open air restaurant as we head into the warmer weather. Aren't you excited about that? Did you have any idea it was going to come in so handy?
I didn't, but I am excited about it. And top of my list right now is to put in the outdoor seating there at Wall Street Tavern. You know, I want to put in a little fencing there and put out some tables outside, get some flowers going, some neat lights, you know, give it a little of a Brooklyn feel, and get that going. Cause I think that's what the people want. And we actually started doing some specials where on Wednesdays we do $10 burgers. Thursdays we do a special where you buy one pizza, you get the second one half price. And then on Sundays we do a Sunday fun day where you get two pies and a order of chicken wings for $30. You know, if you call up and you say you want one of the specials, we absolutely honor it.
Awesome. So why don't you just plug your websites as we wind down the interview? It's been great having you back on in the city's backyard here.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Nice talking to you. Our websites are Rory's.net and Wall Street Tavern, or Wall Street Tav.com.
That's right. It's T-A-V for tavern. So it's wallstreettav.com. All right. Well, Brian, it's always a pleasure having you on the podcast. Brian Malcarney, who is not only a chef, but he's the restaurateur of both places, one in Darien, Rory's, and Wall Street Tavern in Norwalk. You got to check him out. And again, thanks for being on the food episode. We love having you as a sponsor. So thanks to Brian Malcarney. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks, Matt. It's always a pleasure, and have a great week.
How about a great sandwich for lunch or a delicious breakfast and cup of coffee? Check out Francesca's Cafe and Grill right on the Post Road in Norwalk. 249 Westport Avenue, featuring salads, wraps, and hot and cold specialties and classic hot sandwiches. Sergio does it all, from Italy to Norwalk, from coffee to cannolis. Francesca's is truly a piece of Italy right in the heart of Norwalk. Check out their great menu at francescasdeli.com. We are in the backyard of South Norwalk, Connecticut, with our next guest, Lindsay Arakalian.
Hi.
It's so good to have you on the show, Lindsay. You have you have this new ice cream out called Lindsay's Handmade Ice Cream.
That's which right.
You started doing this right around when the pandemic hit, right?
Yep, exactly. I was stuck at home, and I had already done all the baking, and I tried my hand at sourdough, and I said, you know what, I'm going to take out my ice cream machine and I'm going to make some ice cream, and I'm going to make the ice cream that I remember from 3 years ago. I had this goat cheese ice cream at this little shop in Maine, and I just had been dreaming of it. So I just took out my ice cream machine and I said, I'm going to try this. I'm going to make this goat cheese ice cream. And I made it and I tweaked it and perfected it. And finally I nailed it. And I just couldn't stop after that. I was just making ice cream out of everything I could get my hands on.
Now you have different flavors?
Yes, I have lots of different flavors. I like to try new flavors all the time. Right now I'm trying to go with the spring, summer flavors and figure out what I want to use. I love using seasonal ingredients and whatever's available. So I'm really looking forward to summer and being able to have access to all the fresh fruits and things that are going to start coming in. I'm using the best ingredients that I could find, really good quality dairy, and pints range from $9 to $12. But when you get that, you're getting a very, very high quality product. And when you think about it, if you were to go out for ice cream at an ice cream shop or something, you would probably spend at least that much anyway.
Oh,
so
yeah.
You're getting a really good quality, I mean, I'd like to say like restaurant quality, artisanal product for a higher price than you would pay for, say, Haagen-Dazs or Ben & Jerry's, but you are getting what I think is a better product. And it's locally made. I try to support other local food producers as much as I can. I've collaborated with a few different other food producers in Connecticut, and that's something I really want to continue doing.
So speaking of local ice cream, you're a local girl from Stamford, now living in Sono, mm-hmm. and you went to college in New York at Iona College. And before you were, you know, took on this venture of making ice cream before the pandemic, you know, your background, you were working in wine and spirits, and it's great to have you on the food episode. And, you know, we're talking beer and, you know, food and ice cream. So, you know, we have Wall Street Tavern as a sponsor of in the city's backyard, and your ice cream is available there, correct?
Correct. They do have one of my ice creams on their dessert menu. The cinnamon ice cream they serve with their apple crisp is made by me. And we also go to Wall Street Tavern for customers to pick up their orders. So if a customer places an order online, we have a designated day and time and everyone comes to pick up their ice cream. And the best part of that, in addition to being at Wall Street Tavern, which the food is so amazing, people come in and, you know, they're excited. They get to pick up lunch and they get to pick up their ice cream and everyone's in such a great mood. And it's such a good atmosphere to be in. It makes me just, I love being there and meeting my customers in person because I don't have, you know, a physical shop right now to come face to face with people. So it's nice to have those interactions. So at least I still get to meet everybody.
Right. I know that your goal would be to kind of, you know, have your own ice cream shop, and you're debating on if you can do that this spring and summer. But in the meantime, right. How, you know, if people are interested in finding your ice cream, you know, say at Wall Street Tavern, how do they go about it? Do you have a website or?
Yes. Okay. I do. I have a website, which is lindsayshandmade.com. It's Lindsay with an A. And you can go on there and see what flavors I have available and place an order. And I will usually put on social media, but also send an email letting customers know when I'll be at Wall Street Tavern and they can come pick up their order. And if for any reason that day or that time doesn't work for them, I always make every effort possible to meet up with them somewhere at a time and place that's convenient so they can get their order.
So if any other restaurants were interested in carrying your ice cream, Lindsay, how could they go about contacting you? And so you could carry Lindsay's Handmade ice cream in other restaurants in Fairfield County?
Yes, actually, I would love that. If any restaurants are interested in carrying my ice cream or having it on their menu, please reach out to me, email or through my website, lindsayshandmade.com. That's Lindsay with an A. And I look forward to hearing from you.
So it's lindsayshandmade.com?
Correct.
Okay. So no ice cream in the website, just handmade. Nope. Gotcha.
Yep. Just lindsayshandmade.com.
Well, it is so great to have you in the city's backyard. I mean, you know, I've heard great things about your ice cream.
Thanks.
And I mean, what's before we wrap up the interview, what would you say the most gratifying thing of, you know, people enjoying your ice cream during the pandemic would be? I mean, what's the common thing you're hearing? It's comforting to them during these times.
The most gratifying thing is I love this because it happens every time when a customer picks up their order and within an hour or two, I have a text message or an email from a customer just telling me how much they love the ice cream. It's the best ice cream they ever had. It's so wonderful. I love getting emails where customers feel like they got something good and they want to let me know.
That
really means
awesome.
A lot to me. Yeah.
So they can find your email right off your website, right?
Yeah, there's a contact form, and also my email address is just lindsay@lindsayshandmade.com, which is on the website as well.
Lindsay from Lindsay's Handmade Ice Cream. It's great having you on the show.
Thank
Thanks so
you.
Much.
It's been great. Thank you. Have a great day.
From hot to cold, breakfast to lunch, JV's Deli has something for everyone. Having a family get-together or need to feed the working crew, JV's Deli and Pizza has options to feed the whole team. JV specializes in thin crust pizza, deli sandwiches, pasta, and more. JV's Deli and Pizza, serving Norwalk for over 10 years, 15 Tierney Street, up the road from City Hall. Check out their great menu at jvsdeliandpizza.com.
Listening to the City's Backyard podcast is safe. Be safe. Listen in your own backyard. To the City's Backyard.
We are back in the studio for our next interview with the beer guys, Jim and Dave Balser. We are talking to them from the beer lab in the cellar of Reading Beer Company in Reading, Connecticut, where all the magic happens. Welcome to the podcast, guys. Great to have you along.
Thanks, Matt. Good to be here.
It's good to be here, Matt.
Yeah, you guys do a fantastic job making excellent craft beer. And one of the highlights of the pandemic has been being able to go there and enjoy what I think is really sincerely the best beer in the state of Connecticut. How do you guys manage to do it? I mean, you're in the lab right now working on your next flavor.
Well, we adhere to a lot of, traditional techniques. It's making beer is both an art and a science. So that art part, I don't know where it comes from. It just, you got it in you. Science comes from a little bit of book learning.
You've had some great events in the last year throughout the pandemic, giving people a chance to get outside in what you call the beer park ing lot. No pun intended there, but you know, you have the fire pit through the winter, and you've given folks in the community a sense of sanity to get outside and enjoy a great tasting beer. So how do you feel about that? I mean, it's kind of like you achieved something new since you've opened.
Well, definitely. I feel terrific about it that we were able to provide a safe place to come and enjoy beer and you know, kind of get out of the quarantine. Even though we provided a really safe place to do it outside with the Connecticut requirements for indoor masking, social distancing, and it's just been a pleasure to have our customers, who were terrific with it. I mean, we really have a terrific a bunch of regulars, and the new people who are coming in are just fantastic. And we're looking forward to a much better spring and summer with all the vaccines coming out.
Absolutely. And speaking of that, I want to address the next question to Dave, who's part of the Reading Beer Company family. Dave, you are responsible for the theme name of this event that we are doing called Springfest, because originally we did Oktoberfest, and then I came up with Novemberfest, and I actually came up and had a beer with you in the beer garden outside there near the fire pit, and you and I were talking, and we were talking about all the great glasses that the Reading Beer Company has for sale, and then you kind of just came up. I was going to call it Spring Break, and you said no, it's too college sounding, and you said Springfest, and I said there it is. Tell me, Dave, about the RBC Growler Club. What is that?
The Growler Club is something that I'm quite proud of, because it is going to be basically we are going to be selling miniature kegs that are the size of four beers, and people are going to be able to take that home with them and have our beer at the same quality that they would get it here at home. It's going to be for 26 pours, I think is what we agreed.
26 weeks of beer every other week for a year.
I'm super excited to have people having, you know, brewery quality beer at home, because that's really what we want. I want people to enjoy the beer that Jim and I have worked so hard, have put so much research into, have put so much love into, and having it as the best quality beer that they can.
Right. And I'm very proud. This was really David's idea. And if you're interested, if anyone out there is interested, go to the website. It's a sign up for more information. You'll see it on the main page, and you know, we just want to get a list of people who are interested, and more information will follow.
Yeah, readingbeer.com, and I want to bring up the fact that, you know, outside at the beer park there, between, you know, the fire pit and then, you know, a stack of firewood there that you let the customers kind of add a log if they need to. And also now, you know, music outside now that the weather's warm, and then different food trucks or food venues come and set up a tent. So Dave, I want to talk about the merchandise, because you and I had that conversation, and you know, I had given you a City's Backyard coffee mug, and you were so happy, and then we kind of exchanged, and I got one of your little, like, I don't know if it was a wine glass or a, like a snifter glass, but your glasses and your merchandise, they're so cool, and it's just so much fun to come up there. Tell me a little bit about the merchandise for sale at Reading Beer Company.
We do have shirts, but my main attractions, to me at least, are we have such a wide variety of glasses, because you should be serving your beer in the right glass for it, because an IPA glass is different than a red ale glass, is different than a wheat ale glass. But the new thing that we just got earlier this month are dog bandanas. They come in three different sizes with a nice Reading Beer Company logo. They are absolutely fantastic, because we are dog friendly inside and out. We have treats for dogs. And so now that you can have your dog bling in terms of the bandanas.
Hey, Jim, I want to address the fact that, you know, when I think of you and your son, Dave, and Reading Beer Company, I mean, I hope this is a compliment to you, but I really think of you guys as like the beer geeks in the state of Connecticut. Is that okay to kind of call you that?
Well, yeah, you can definitely call at least me that. I don't know about Dave. I don't know how Dave feels about that. But I've been a geek since high school, so.
Excuse me.
All right.
No, speaking of beer geeks, I mean, tell us about the different flavors and what makes you come up with, you know, like the craft beer of the month and all your specials. Why don't you mention the different flavors and specials that you have going on there?
Okay, well, first of all, we want to provide that bit of variety to our customers, and we'll look out for beer styles. Some of which are, you know, kind of popular beer styles. We're doing our Czech Pilsner is coming out again this summer. It was on hiatus last summer, but it's going to be out again. That was a real fan favorite. And that's a good summer beer, light, crisp, probably one of the harder styles to make because it is so light. There's nothing to hide the mistakes behind. Not that we make mistakes, but well. We are also coming out with a summer wit. Our standard American wheat ale is taking a little vacation for the summer, and we're going to have a nice summer wit beer.
Nice.
Again, a nice medium alcohol, kind of a fruity, spicy beer. And we have some other things planned that I don't want to go into now because the recipes aren't finalized yet, but we're going to keep it interesting.
Can't give away all your secrets there, Jim, that's for sure.
And coming up this fall, some fan favorites will be back. Our Reading Old Ale is coming back for the fall. Scotch 80 Shilling will be available in the fall. So we're looking out that far ahead to try to keep it all interesting.
Yeah, and you guys definitely do a great job of keeping it interesting. And I'll tell you, it really is hard to drink regular old beer now from the package store after having Reading beer. It's kind of like, you know, you can't go back. You know, once you've had the great tasting beer at the Reading Beer Company, it really is hard to compare anything to it. And Dave, you know, always an education with you, especially I had no idea that different glasses meant different things with the different craft styles of beer. And again, you guys really are the beer geeks in town from the beer lab in the cellar at Reading Beer Company. And just one final thing as we wrap the interview, what can we look forward to, you know, again, under the CDC guidelines going through the warmer months? What can we look forward to? More great events outdoors, Jim?
Absolutely. We're going to be planning some great events outdoors, probably once every 4 to 6 weeks. We'll be doing something major, and that's going to really culminate with Oktoberfest.
Sweet. And Dave, as far as the dog thing, I mean, was that your idea to become dog friendly? I mean, that's really kind of cool.
Once we figured out that the town would let us be dog friendly, we jointly were like, there's no reason for us not to be dog friendly. It allows a lot more people to come in because, you know, sometimes you don't want to leave your dog at home. And that way you can have great beer and your pup along with you.
Yeah, that really is kind of cool how, you know, I've been there and I see people come in with their dog, fill up their growlers and take off. You know, it's kind of like they get out during the pandemic. They get the dog out of the house and, you know, a lot of guys, you know, go fill up their beer and give the wife at home a break because of the pandemic. So Reading Beer has just been, you know, a vital spiritual, I want to say an uplifting spiritual event to go there and just enjoy a great tasting beer. So thank you guys for doing this for the community and just, you know, keep making that great tasting beer.
Well, we appreciate that. We are humbled. And thank you very much for the compliment. Thank you, Matt.
Thanks, Matt.
The Wall Street Tavern in Norwalk is now open with their cool rock and roll decor. Check out their great menu, a delightful offering of appetizers, soups, salads, sandwiches, wood-fired pizzas, and delicious entrees and desserts. From the wood-roasted all-natural half chicken to the grilled dry-aged New York strip. For more info, log on to WallStreetTavForTavern.com. That's WallStreetTav.com. 102 Wall Street, Norwalk. The Wall Street Tavern is now serving Reading beer on tap.
Stay fit, stay strong, stay healthy with Nikki Fit. Nikki Fit offers fitness classes and more all online from the safety of your own home. Log on to stayfitwithnikkifit.com to learn more. Spell Nikki Fit with two K's. Enter code STAY STRONG for 15% off your first service at stayfitwithnikkifit.com.
Who knew the sleepy suburbs would be so popular? You're listening to The City's Backyard.
We have had such a good time here at Reading Beer. I want to thank all our sponsors and guests. A big thanks going out to Brian Malcarney from Wall Street Tavern for not only being a sponsor of the podcast, but also providing the food tent here at Reading Beer Company in Reading, Connecticut. Big thanks to Lindsay from Lindsay's Handmade Ice Cream. Also, Sergio from Sergio's Italian Deli, otherwise known as Francesca's, in Norwalk, Francesca's Italian Deli. That's his grandmother's name, so he decided to keep the name in Norwalk, right on Westport Avenue. From Italy to Norwalk, Serge does it all. And also the guys at Reading Beer, Jim and Dave Balser, Jim and his son Dave, and of course, thanks to Cindy, Jim's wife, for just providing a safe environment to come and enjoy some great-tasting beer that is made right here locally in the state of Connecticut. And we're going to continue to do these outdoor events in their beer garden, which they like to call the beer park for beer parking lot. It's literally a parking lot that they've turned into a beer garden with picnic tables. And, they provide different food vendors that come here, whether it's a food truck or Wall Street Tavern. So thanks to the musicians, Stephen Keith, tour newcomer, and thanks to all the people that came out to support the event. That's going to do it for this edition. It was a great food and beverage episode. So thanks to all our guests. Thanks to all our sponsors. We'll see you next week. Thanks for listening. Be safe, everybody.
Thank you very much. Bob Dylan / Guns N' Roses song.
That puts a wrap on another edition of The City's Backyard, a podcast with Matt the Z-Man Zacho. We'll be back next week with more interesting topics, great guests, and fun conversation about what's happening in and around your community. That's it for now. We'll see you soon.